For most people, it is not because they lack the virtue or the power. It's because they don't use the power they've got. Moreover, they grow conditionally by the practice of meritorious good works, depending on the person's disposition of soul. Every time, for example, I make an act of faith, take what was shown me, I don't see it here, the feature article on, again, His Excellency Bishop Thomas Gumbleton. Headlines, Gumbleton challenges the Pope on gay people. Well, instinctively, you have to make an act of faith. Do I still believe in the Holy Catholic Church? And that, by the way, is the main reason of the 16th century why six nations were lost to the Catholic Church, because of lecherous, unchaste bishops and priests. Do you hear me? And the worst kind of lechery is not in the actions we perform. The worst kind of lechery is what we teach others. Is it any wonder that millions of Catholics have given up their faith in our country? The wonder is that more haven't given up their faith. But every time that our faith is tested, it grows stronger, provided, watch this, provided we don't allow for a moment our minds to doubt. Never for a moment doubt anything which faith tells you we are to believe. Homosexuality is still the crime of celibate. And you know exactly why. You know why this thing came out just now. You know why. Just before the elections. You know why. There's only one enemy of the pansexualism of our country. Only one foe of the homosexuals. Hate with a demonic hatred. And that's the Catholic Church. In other words, our virtues are to grow by being practiced, and being practiced especially when, in spite of the opposite being done by those all around us, we, having the faith, believe what the Catholic Church has been teaching for 2,000 years. Every time we perform an act of a virtue that is being tested, we grow in that virtue. And we grow in that virtue in the measure to which we, listen to this, in the measure to which we have in God's grace when we perform the virtue, and the measure of the willpower we put into it, and in the measure of the resistance we have to make against those who challenge what we believe. Number three, the virtues are all lost by mortal sin, except faith, which is only lost through a grave sin against faith, and hope, which is lost by despair or loss of faith. Let's be clear. The three most important virtues that we have, only one condition, that with a state of grace, are faith, hope, and charity. Every mortal sin does not automatically deprive a person of the virtue of faith. Every mortal sin always, automatically, deprives the person of the virtue of childhood. There is no longer any virtue of supernatural love in anyone who has committed a mortal sin. No more. So much so that a perfect synonym for being in the state of mortal sin is to be without the virtue of childhood. However, faith and hope may still remain as virtues, unless can these virtues be lost too? Yes, they can. The infused virtue of hope can be lost by an act of despair. In other words, losing confidence that God will provide me with a means of reaching heaven, or as I look past at my life, see how deeply I have sinned, I become so convinced that I despair of my salvation. It is not commonly known, but should be said, St. Francis de Sales was on the verge of suicide. As he looked over his past life, such as it was, he was sure he was one of the lost. And living as he did in an age when John Calvin, with his predestinarianism, was deluding so many people, De Sales was convinced he was not one of the predestined for heaven. May the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, and he stayed alive, and not only alive, but became a saint. And in today's world, there are many, many people that are tempted to despair. Good people see what's going on, for example, in the church. Just beside themselves. Despairing either of their own future or of the future of the church. Again, a person can lose the virtue of faith. Now watch this. You don't have to deny any article of faith to lose the virtue. All you have to do is even once consciously and deliberately doubt. A single doubt. All you have to do is suspend judgment. Maybe the Bishop of Rome, maybe he is the vicar of Christ. Maybe he has the right to teach the universal church, say, on the mortal sinfulness of contraception or homosexuality. Maybe. But I'm not sure that maybe deprives the person of the virtue of faith. Now this needs saying. Just remind myself, I go to 225. To protect ourselves from the temptation to either unbelief or despair. I know wherever I speak, we must, each one of us, beginning with the speaker, we must be very careful in what we read, what we look at, see on television, whom we associate with, what kind of people we keep company with. Because you read And sadly, I wish I did not have to say it, books, nominally Catholic, and some sadly even with imprimaturs. You read some literature, you read some, oh dear Lord, I never thought I'd live to say this. You read some diocesan papers, and you endanger your faith. Am I still making sense? I'd rather crawl under this floor than have to say those words, but I wouldn't be fair to you. In other words, our virtues are possessed in very delicate and sensitive vessels. And as we talk, as we did during our homily at Mass today, and of old age today, all saints, we've got to be very, what word shall I use? Cautious, careful, prudent. There are things you just cannot read, period. And not have your faith weakened. Or, for example, now with the state of Michigan, mandated sex education and mandated homosexual education. That is why it has to be done. For many parents, the only way they can preserve the virtue and faith of their children are teaching those children themselves. Now we take up each virtue in sequence, and I'll spend the next 15 minutes on the virtue of faith. See what we've done? We've gone over the seven basic virtues. Now we'll take each one in sequence. Some of you have more time to, some less. First, faith. Our English language is no help. Webster's Unabridged is no help. Faith means whatever people want it to mean, certainly in English. What is our definition of faith? Is a supernatural habit that enables the mind to firmly assent to the truth revealed by God because of his authority in revealing them. So what is faith? Faith is a power. Remember, that's what virtue is. It's a power. You have a power in the mind. Just because we were baptized, we received the power to assent. Remember, we insisted. The verb in the Catholic vocabulary, for you the mind, is assent. For you the will is consent. We accept with our minds to everything which God has revealed. Whatever he's saying, whatever God has revealed, both in sacred scripture and in sacred tradition. Unlike the Protestants, we have only the Bible to go on. Poor dears. We should pity them, pray for them, be kind to them, be patient with them, but in God's name, never be, well, influenced by their Protestantism. We have sacred tradition and sacred scripture. And how do we know what is to be believed? Everything which the Catholic Church teaches as binding on the human race. Let me tell you, Catholicism is very pragmatic. Catholicism is very specific. Catholicism is very definite. There are no loose ends about the Catholic faith. in the Catholic that you never use a subjunctive mood. Maybe, perhaps. God became man. And this God-man died on the cross. And before he died, this God-man changed bread and wine into his own living flesh and blood. I got a call from South Dakota. Priest was telling me, the director of vocations for their diocese was at a national meeting of vocation directors, Catholic vocation directors, in Upper Minnesota. One of the leading speakers got up and told all these assembled vocation directors from all over the country, I am not a Catholic priest, I am a Presbyterian. The priesthood is not a sacrament, the priesthood is a function. It's about time the Catholic Church woke up. I mean, that's why I'm here Sunday. So I hope you're here. You better know what the truth still is, right? So the faith is assent. I accept with my mind, and mind you, is not only that I do not deny, I don't even doubt. A doubt is suspended judgment. I don't say maybe, and Master Day, maybe, when Father and I pronounce the words, this is my body. Maybe after the words of consecration, Christ was present on the altar. No. The moment the mind says maybe, at that moment, the mind loses the virtue of faith. And there are so many, may God have mercy on them, in positions of great influence in the Catholic Church, or saying maybe, perhaps, one of the most fundamental truths of the Catholic faith. Assent to the truth revealed by God. And I repeat, how do we know what was revealed by God? Because Christ instituted the Church to tell us. That's what we mean by definition. That's what we mean by definition. You put fines, F-I-N-E-S for plural, F-I-N-I-S. You put a boundary around what you believe. Outside of that is heresy. And it's everything. In other words, you do not choose or pick in a virtue of faith. And that is why, again, so many once believing Catholics have given up their Catholic faith. You do not choose or select what you want to believe. You either believe everything or you're not a Catholic. And notice, and the motive, now this needs to be said. The motive for believing is God's authority. He said so. Not because I can grasp or comprehend how what I'm told to believe is true. Having told my own Jesuits, I've said more than once for 25 years. Obviously, living with them, knowing them so well. I know that the more naturally intelligent a person is, the more gifted mentally, the more humility of faith a person must have, The hardest virtue for an intellectual to have is humility of mind. I got a problem with this. I got a problem with that. Well, so what? So, have the problem. What's wrong with having problems? Difficulties don't make a single doubt. 1,000 difficulties don't make one doubt. I cannot understand. You've tried, haven't you? I sure have. Look. Relax. Take an aspirin. If only men like Hans Kuhn and Skillebeck and the rest of them had done that, the church would not be now plagued by these mountains of error concocted by intelligent men who refuse to bend their minds to the mind of God and say, Lord, I don't get it. And the Lord says, you weren't supposed to. But I've got a mind. Sure, you have a mind. You've got a mind to understand what God wants you to understand. But your main reason for having a mind is to bend that mind in adoration before the mind of God. How necessary a faith? Absolutely necessary. Nobody gets to heaven without faith. Nobody. Hindus. Buddhists. Muslims. Nobody. Now, the measure or degree of faith will depend on how much God has vouchsafed them to know of his revelation. One reason over the years that I was so comfortable in teaching, say, the Eastern religions, classes in Shinto, 2-semester courses in Hinduism. Great. Because I see among those non-Christian religions many things which they do believe. I repeat, in the measure to which God's revealed truth has entered their lives, they are to believe as much as they, well, are expected to believe. But they better believe. And remember, the absolute minimum, the final limit to what every human being to be saved must believe is in the existence of God and that he rewards those who serve him. Is one reason, yet in teaching the non-Christian or even non-Catholic religions, it helps us Catholics to appreciate how much they have in common with us, so that instead of blasting them for being, well, heretics or pagans. I knew, for example, my students at the Protestant Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, well, were heretics. I didn't, you know, in the morning. Good morning, my dear heretics. That's where prudence comes in, see? In other words, this is one of the great blessings of the Second Vatican Council. It scandalizes some people. We are to see, but remember, you've got to have eyes that can see. You've got to see what these other people have in common with us. Why? Not because of us, but because the Catholic Church possesses the fullness of the truth. So find out how much my Muslim friend, what grade he would get against the 100% of Catholic revealed truth. Well, maybe it's only 36%. I don't blast him for not having the other 64%. I build on what he knows. I think I told you about the Muslim woman from Iran. The longest conversation I had from Chicago to Albuquerque. She didn't let up all the way down to the Albuquerque airport. We talked to a priest in her life. He talked all about Esau, about Jesus, who she believed was only a great prophet. Well, no. Much more than that. So we can build on what they've got. And my clock says 25 after. I think I take a 15-minute break. Is that right? So 22 to reassemble. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To be continued.